Good morning and greetings in our Savior's name, and welcome to our worship service as we do so online. You may wish to have your Bibles with you this morning, and we'll be reading from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Our opening hymn, had we been joining together collectively to worship this morning, would be that grand hymn of the faith, Holy, Holy, Holy. Let me read this hymn to us this morning. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which wert and art and evermore shalt be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love, and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Amen and praise be to God. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and I'm going to conclude with the prayer that we've been asked to pray regarding the COVID virus. Our Father and our God, how privileged we are to be able to approach thy very throne of grace. These wonderful words, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, blessed Trinity, we come to you, we praise you, we honor you, and we invite your Holy Spirit to pour out himself upon all who are listening this day, and that we, each one, will be drawn closer to thee. Hear our prayer, O God, we ask in our Savior's name. And we also pray, our Father in heaven, we humbly request that you eradicate this deadly virus from our families, our neighborhood, our community, our country, and throughout the world. May your name be glorified because of your action, Heavenly Father. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. It's no surprise to anyone, this is Mother's Day. And I have 11 statements I would like to read concerning mothers. Number one, one mother said, silence is golden. That is, unless you have children, then silence is just suspicious. Number two, nothing is really lost until your mom can't find it. Number three, if at first you don't succeed, try doing it the way mom told you in the beginning. Number four, my mother told me a million times not to exaggerate. Number five, a mother is a person who's seeing there are only four pieces of pie for five people, promptly announces that she never did care for pie. One lady comedian, number six, said, I want my children to have all the things I couldn't afford. Then I want to move in with them. Number seven, children are a great comfort in our old age, and they help you to reach it faster also. Number eight, my mother's menu consisted of two choices, take it or leave it. Number nine, it's not easy being a mother. If it were easy, fathers would do it. Number 10, the majority of my diet is made up of foods that my kids didn't finish. And number 11, if your kids are giving you a headache, follow the directions on the aspirin bottle, especially the part that says, keep away from children. Well, this is Mother's Day, and a very happy Mother's Day to you. I've entitled this message, A Gift from Mothers and A Gift to Mothers. There's a question that has often been asked, and that is, what is the hallmark of a great mother? There are many answers that could be given to that, particularly depending upon the relationship that you have had with your mother. But there seems to be one common thread through it all, and that is the word kindness. Kindness. In fact, the action of kindness goes two ways. Mothers extend a great deal of kindness to their children, always, and then their children need to give that gift back by giving kindness to their mother and to their parents. In our scripture reading today, we are going to see the use of the word kindness along with a number of other words. So let us turn to Colossians chapter 3, beginning to read at verse number 12, 12 through to and including verse 17. Let us hear the word of God. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning we're going to look at, five elements of kindness. They all begin with the letter S. The first is be sensitive. In other words, tune in. Be aware of the needs of others. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 4, we read, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Someone has said, if you care, if you really care, you will be aware. There are two truths around this point of being sensitive. Remember that at some time in your life, we are all going to go through a rough or a tough time. Perhaps someone is near you even now as we minister in this way over the internet. There's someone that is having a rough or a tough time. The fact is, we all have those kinds of times sometime in our life. Remember, the number one cause that keeps us from being kind is being too busy. After all, if we concentrate on my agenda, my needs, my goals, my desires, then I simply do not have time to be concerned about anyone else. And that, of course, is not extending kindness. Kindness starts with looking at others, being aware, and being sensitive to the other person. So our first ingredient regarding kindness is to be sensitive. The second is be supportive. In Proverbs 15:4, we read, kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit. How true. Interesting that the writer of this chapter in Proverbs reminds us to be supportive in our speech, supportive of one another. A paraphrase of a Peanuts cartoon went something like this. Red-headed little girl. Charlie Brown, guess what? I'm running for May Queen at my school. Charlie Brown. Interesting. Lucy has already been chosen as Queen of May for our school. Red-headed little girl. Your school must have pretty low standards. Now comes the line by Charlie Brown. He had a choice of saying something derogatory or something else. Listen to his response. Well, congratulations to you. Charlie Brown took the high road. How wonderful it would be if we all took the high road. Now, I don't know a great deal about school situations today, but I do know of experiences where children in school have been terribly mean one to another. And in schools today, although we know that children are not going to school right at the particular moment, it takes a great deal of courage and determination for a Christian boy or girl to be kind, even in the midst of a situation where others are not kind to them. Human nature takes us one way, but by relying upon God's Holy Spirit in our life, we can take Charlie Brown's high road, and we don't need to be involved in putting someone else down. What we need to do is be concerned about them, be sensitive to them. We need to be supportive. There was an old nursery rhyme that went something like this: sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me. It's wrong. Names do hurt. Names can be devastating when one child or one person says it to another. So the question that we have to ask in our minds is, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, what do we do? Do we put others down or do we encourage them? We can ask ourselves the question, how much do I support others with my words? Do I lift others up and encourage them, or do I try and put them down? There's another saying says, when we belittle others, remember, we are being little. We do not build ourselves up by tearing others down. Kindness. We are to be sensitive. We are to be supportive. We are to be sympathetic. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Or another translation puts it this way: when others are happy, be happy with them. When they are sad, share their sorrows. Have you ever met someone who is happy when others are happy and is sad when others are sad? Did you know that strong leaders are not afraid to engage in emotional responses, not afraid to express their emotions? We know that verse in Scripture, John 11:35, the shortest verse, and it's of two words: Jesus wept. This is one of the most touching verses in all of Scripture because it shows us the emotion of our blessed Lord Jesus. He wept at the death of his dear friend Lazarus. We've often asked, I wonder why Jesus wept. Well, perhaps he wept because he was experiencing the same emotion that the sisters of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, were sharing. Perhaps that's why he was weeping. Or perhaps he was weeping because he knew that he was going to bring Lazarus back from an eternity with God in heaven back to a temporal life for a period of time on earth. We don't know all the reasons why Jesus wept, but we know that he did. And we remember, pardon me, that he was the strongest leader in all the world, of all time. Perhaps one of the best things that we can do if we are with someone who is mourning is to mourn with them. Also, being sensitive, if, for example, our teenage son or daughter comes downstairs one morning and they're really upset because they have a very large pimple in the middle of their head and they wonder what's happening and they're really upset, and we can respond one of two ways. We can say very quickly, we'll get over it, we've all been through it, or we can say, know exactly what you mean. It was like that when I was a teenager as well. We can be supportive even in situations like that. Number four, we are to be straightforward. The book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms gives us an excellent information on this subject. In Proverbs we read, wounds from a friend are better than kisses from an enemy. And Psalm 145, a good man may rebuke me in kindness. A genuine friend will tell us exactly how it is. No embellishment will tell us precisely. Mind you, sometimes for a friend to do that is not easy for them. A number of years ago, Dr. James Dobson wrote a book entitled Love Must Be Tough. And sometimes a friend needs to express that love by being tough to his or her friend. That friend may need to say, I'm simply not going to stand for it anymore. I'm not going to be silent and watch you destroy your marriage or your family life or whatever it may happen to be. It may not be easy for your friend to do that, but your friend is being honest, and your friend wants to do precisely and exactly what will help you. Mind you, there's a fine line that we all need to walk, a fine line between whether we confront someone or comfort someone. May God give us the grace to know when to confront or when to comfort. Five indications of kindness. Five attributes of kindness. Be sensitive, be supportive, be sympathetic, be straightforward, be spontaneous. In Galatians we read, chapter 6, verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. There's a trick to this, however, and that is to seize the opportunity when it arises. Therefore, we need to be really sensitive to the other person. My experience with my mother and with Linda, the mother of our children, and with Tammy and Tabitha, the mothers of our grandchildren, is that they are not only sensitive to their children's needs, but also they seize the opportunity to do whatever needs to be done. There are a couple of old sayings which sometimes carry a lot of wisdom. Here's the first one. Give roses or flowers while the recipient can still smell them. And secondly, do your given while you're living. Perhaps the classic record of kindness is found in the story of the Good Samaritan. We all know what the story is. We know that those who should have assisted did not, and the one that they thought would not assist did. I hope we number among those who other people would look at us and say, there are people who express kindness. There's a person who loves other people. I began this message by saying this is a message to mothers, to parents, and of course to children on this Mother's Day. It's a message to all of us. It matters not where we are planted, but we are to be kind, express kindness wherever we are planted. It just might be interesting to each of us today or tomorrow if we did something kind to someone else. Children, do something kind to your mother this day and all during the week, and when you think about it, every day during the year. If you go to work tomorrow or if you go to school tomorrow, I know that some of us won't be going because of the COVID situation, but the next time we go to work or the next time we go to school, deliberately look for someone to whom you can undertake an act of kindness, something that you can do for them. What about a friend who does not know Jesus as Savior and Lord of his or her life? The most kind act that you could ever undertake is to introduce that person to Jesus. We are told that Romans, during the Roman time, during the Roman Empire, used to confuse two Greek words. They sound very similar, but they have a different meaning. The first was Christos, which means Christ, and the second is Krestos, which means kindness or being kind. Apparently, many of the Romans were always mixing up the words Christos as Christ followers or krestos, as kindness. Really, when we think about it, that is a wonderful testimony. How wonderful it would be if all who were non-Christian would look at us as being Christians, as being people of kindness, people who give out kind acts, who do things because we are interested in the other person. Of course, none of us would be here if we didn't have mothers and fathers. So I'm so glad that God has allowed us to be brought into this world through our fathers and mothers. But today, I have a special request for fathers and mothers and who are determined to be like Joshua. I'm praying that we will all be determined to be like Joshua, who said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." May our gracious Lord bless you, especially this day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Christian fathers and mothers, and for those who, while not perfect, did all within their power to present the claims of Christ to their children and to raise them in a Christian home. May we each show your kindness to others this week, for we ask it in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our closing hymn today is a well-known hymn entitled, "Just As I Am." But I thought it would be helpful if I read some background about the writing of this hymn, "Just As I Am." This is taken from the book, "The 1 Year Christian History," by E. Michael Rustin. Born on March 17, 1789, Charlotte Elliott grew up in a cultured, spiritual household in England. Her grandfather was the famous preacher Henry Venn, and her father and brother were also ministers. When Charlotte was in her 30s, she experienced a serious illness that left her in poor health and in significant pain for the rest of her life. Feelings of weakness and helplessness that stemmed from her physical problems resulted in a lifelong struggle with depression. One day, in 1822, when Charlotte was especially depressed and irritable, Dr. Caesar Millan, a Swiss minister, musician, and old family friend, questioned her regarding her faith. He asked her whether she had ever experienced God's peace in the midst of her difficulties. She became upset and defensive, but his words nagged at her heart. Later, when she was feeling better, she sought out Dr. Millan and asked him for help, confessing her sense of alienation from God. She said, "I want to be saved. I want to come to Jesus, but I don't know how." Just as an aside, there are many people who don't know how. Continuing the quote, he replied simply and sincerely, "Come to him just as you are." His words were from the Lord, and they spoke to Charlotte powerfully. Charlotte did come to Jesus in faith that day, and peace filled her heart for the first time. She continued to struggle with depression as her physical problems plagued her, but now she had Jesus to help her through her difficulties. On one particularly trying day, she was unable to go to a church function she really wanted to attend because of her intense pain and weakness. She was deeply depressed, feeling she could do nothing to serve the Lord as a homebound invalid. In her ministry, she reached for a pen and paper and poured out her feelings. As she wrote, the words of Dr. Millan came back to her, and she felt as if her great burden was being lifted. That's when she wrote, "Just As I Am," without one plea. Charlotte Elliott published the hymn anonymously in a small Christian newspaper. Unknown to Charlotte, over time the hymn gained popularity and was shared in churches and religious magazines. A wealthy woman was so moved by the hymn that she had it published on a leaflet and distributed throughout England. One day, Charlotte's doctor handed her the leaflet, thinking that the poem might be of help to her. Imagine their collective surprise when she recognized the words as her own. Charlotte was amazed as she learned how many people were touched by her hymn. She realized then that writing was not only a source of comfort to her, but that she also could bring comfort to others. She had found her ministry. She continued writing hymns through the years, and although she remained in significant pain, her hymns constantly, consistently demonstrated gentleness, patience, and spiritual strength. End of quote. We know today that millions of people have placed their trust in Jesus due to the preaching of God's word and the singing of this hymn of invitation. Let me read the hymn. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise, I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. If you've never put your trust in Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world, then simply, just as you are, come to him. Say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner in the need of a Savior. And Lord Jesus, I know that you are the only one who could be my Savior. Therefore, I give my life to you. I thank you for forgiving me of my sin, and I invite you to come into my life. From now on, I want to serve you. I want to follow you. I want to be open to your Holy Spirit's leading within my life. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.